thank you for today. We commit this service into your hands. Let your name be glorified, O God. Lord, in my weakness, O God, I know that's where your strength is. Help me this morning. Give me the grace, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Luke. We'll be reading from the book of Luke chapter 1. This morning, I just want to talk to you about something I've titled, It's Never Too Late. It's never too late. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's never too late. They don't know what's never too late, but it's never too late. Luke chapter 1. I'll be reading from verse 5. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Notice that they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But there was a but in their life. They had no child. Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Because of time, I'll jump to verse 18. It's all relevant, but I'll jump to verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? After the angel had told him what would happen. For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years, saying that it is too late, more or less. He was basically saying, but how would this happen? It is too late for us. We are old. And then verse 23 says that, so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 9 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Our supporting text this morning is taken from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So something from the New Testament, something from the Old Testament. Chapter 1, it says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zoim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Suf and Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3, this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. Verse 5. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6. An arrival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed. Notice that. Prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but you will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Let me now jump to verse 19 because of time. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son. and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Like I said earlier, the title of my message this morning is, It's Never Too Late. It's never too late. You know, as we begin the month of September, I want to declare to you that this month is a month of birthing in the name of Jesus. You know, September represents the ninth month of the year. And as we know, a woman normally gives birth, or a woman that gives birth or that is pregnant is normally expected to give birth in the ninth month of pregnancy. Normally, when a woman is pregnant, they carry the pregnancy for 9 months. And that's when, normally, and I use the word normally, obviously some people go over that, some people go less than that. But normally, it's 9 months that the EDD is given. And as we enter the ninth month of the year, I just want to declare a season of birthing over this church in the name of Jesus. When I talk about birthing, I'm not so much referring to physical birth. By his grace, yes, we've had that and we'll continue to have that. But I'm talking more to the birthing of destinies, to the birthing of ministries, to the birthing of spiritual things in your life. I'm talking more about the things that God has put on your inside, the dreams that you have, the visions that you have or that you are meant to have, that you should have birthed but you have not yet birthed. The ones that God has given you or may not have given you, but you are carrying in there. It is the month, the season that we are entering to begin to birth those things, to begin to bring forth what is on our inside and bring it out. When a woman is pregnant, she's carrying something inside. She's been impregnated, she's conceived. But what happens? She gives birth, she gives it out. God has put certain things on your inside, and it is the season that we need to begin to bring it forth in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Now, you know, we read the scripture about the two scenarios. And the first one was about Zacharias and his wife called Elizabeth. And the second one was about Elkanah and Hannah. Now, when you look at those two scenarios, you'll find out that they are similar. Because both scenarios, it seemed as if there had been a long delay in it happening. With Zacharias and his wife, when God appeared to them, Zacharias actually said that we are old and well advanced in age. So it was invariably saying that it is too late for this to happen. And the interesting thing as I read the scriptures is that I discovered that it wasn't a case that there was something wrong with Zacharias and Elizabeth. The Bible tells us that they were righteous before God. It tells us that they were serving him faithfully. They were committed and diligent in their service for God. But they did not have a child. They had a but. There was a but missing in their life. You know, they were missing that important thing that would leave their imprint, or one of the things, let me use it, that would leave their imprint on their imprint on earth after they die. They were missing something that was key in their life. And the interesting thing is the Bible actually referred to Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 verse 7 as being barren. So the Bible says she was barren. And what you find is that there are some people, sometimes, you know, as individuals, we are committed to God, we are faithful in our service to God, we are righteous, we are committed to his work. However, we remain barren in terms of our calling, in terms of the ministry God has called us to do. Some people remain barren in terms of what God has called them to do in life. And sometimes it's not necessarily a function of your commitment to God. Sometimes. You know, sometimes we see other people starting their ministries, their businesses, and moving more into their destiny. But there just seems to be like a restraint. A restraint in the life of certain people. In the name of Jesus, I pray this morning that restraint will be removed in Jesus' name. I declare that in this church, it's a season where each individual needs to begin to enter and move into the will of God for their life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, the scripture we read earlier, you know, it talks about Hannah and Elkanah. Just before I go on, you know, I was trying to imagine that Zacharias and Elizabeth, how maybe frustrating it must have been over the years for them. In the sense that they probably would have helped other people because we were told that Zacharias was a priest. And so the prayer would have named other children. The prayer would have helped other people. The prayer would have rejoiced with other people. The same way you've seen other people start their businesses, start their ministries, assisted them to get jobs with their career progression, giving them advice, but there's a restraint on that particular thing that you believe God has called you to do. And it's interesting because Hannah had a similar situation. Hannah was a woman that seemed to have everything all together. She dwelt in a house that was blessed. She had a loving and God-fearing husband. She had money because Elkanah said, I'll give you double portion and all that. She seemed to have money. She probably had servants at her beck and call. But there was something missing in her life. She was childless. She had the love of her husband, but no child. She did not have that one thing that would leave her mark or imprint on earth. And you know, in those days, childlessness was looked upon with disdain. In those days, it was a reproach for a woman to be childless. It was probably more painful for her because there were children in the house. So it's not that there was a problem with Elkanah. Because her Penina had children. Just the same way, in this church, you know, sometimes you see people around you serving God, getting blessed, moving ahead. So it's not a case that God does not bless. It's not a case that God does not impregnate. But for some reason, the conception that is meant to happen or the delivery that is meant to happen is not happening in your life or in certain people's lives. I don't know if I'm speaking to someone this morning. And I'm trying to imagine how she would have perceived this. How, people would have perceived it. So people might not say, but where is your God, the God you serve? And you know, we know the issue is not that God cannot give it, because he's giving it to others, but it's like, hey, what about me? What's happening? Let me help us a bit here. You know, there are different types of barrenness. We can classify barrenness into different categories. There's what you call physical barrenness. And when I say barrenness is only temporary. You know, so the inability to have a child, physical child. And sometimes you can have financial barrenness, which is the inability to generate wealth. So your efforts are not commensurate with what you are doing or what you are getting, I beg your pardon. And then there's the spiritual barrenness, and that's my area of emphasis this morning. And which is the inability to reproduce the will of God in your life. And that is the more painful one. Because when God's will in your life, you are not able to reproduce it, then that is a challenge because you are not fulfilling purpose and destiny. I don't know if I'm talking to someone this morning. And that's where I want to emphasize. So this morning, when I'm talking about birth, I'm referring to spiritual birth. So, for example, your ministry, the ministry God has given into your hands, that's a spiritual thing. If God has called you to run a business or to do certain things or operate in a certain kind of level or organization, it's a spiritual thing because there's a purpose behind it and it's spiritual. Amen? Now, you'll find out that the name Hannah itself means grace. And I would have thought that based on her name, she would have the favor of God in all areas. But for some reason, the Bible says that God himself closed the womb. It was God himself that put a restraint upon that reproduction that was meant to happen in her life or delivery. And, it was God himself that put a delay. And, you know, I started wondering that why would God delay or cause a delay in the life of someone like Hannah or Elizabeth. And I just want to give you three things quickly, or possible reasons. The Bible doesn't tell us, but three possible reasons that may be or may account for a similar situation. The first one might be that God wants us to develop maturity and character in certain areas of our life. So God will not allow you or cause the delivery of what is put on your inside because you are not yet mature yet. Which effectively, although God is the one that has put a restraint, we are the ones holding ourselves back. Does that make sense? So, for example, God will not give you something that we cannot handle. Because if he gives it to you, it will harm us. You know, there are some things that will cause people too much distress or might even kill them if God were to give it to them when you want it. So God would withhold it. Let me try to explain. For people that have young children, for example, if you have a five-year-old child, now you might have the money to buy that child a car, but you'll be an irresponsible parent if at that age you give them the keys to your car. That's gross irresponsibility. Why? Because they cannot handle it. And sometimes you have five-year-old Christians that want to drive a car, spiritual car. And when it's not happening, we keep on thinking, God, but why? But God will put a restraint because you have not yet grown up. You know, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It then goes on to say the government shall be upon his shoulders. That talks about responsibility. But listen to this. It says a child is born, but a son is given. The child talks about maturity, but the son, when it comes to maturity, it says it is given. So that's a level of maturity, and until the child becomes a son, the government cannot rest on his shoulders. The ministry that God has given you, your destiny, the things you are meant to be doing, it's the government that God has given you. Oh my goodness, am I making sense? So sometimes God will delay it because of that. And I use sometimes because that's not the case for everybody. But as I say all this, you know, check yourself out. Am I mature enough to handle what I believe God has called me to do? Be sincere with yourself. I know there are certain areas in ministry that I know God has called me into to walk in. But I know if I go in there right now, my goodness, I can't handle it. Because the capacity is not there. So what do we need to do? Develop our capacity. Increase our capacity and maturity. That's number one. Number two, why possible reasons? Could be that God may withhold it or put a delay or restraint in order to get our attention and provoke us into certain things. And sometimes you find out that we get provoked by the people around us. So for example, with Hannah, what happened is that her rival, as the Bible says it, Penina, provoked her. She used to provoke her. And the provocation probably got her, first of all, to start crying, and then from crying, she started praying. But you see, when you are provoked and you don't do anything, then that will not change your situation. Amen? You know, when people move ahead of you, when people are making it, when people are entering into their destinies or making money or whatever it is, in whatever area it is that, you know, you are believing God and you see others, don't be envious of them. Don't be jealous of them. It might just be that God is provoking you that raise up your game. That you need to lift up your game, raise up your game a bit. It might just be that God is showing you that, hey, this is a sample of what you can have. But you need to raise up your game. Amen? He'll sometimes use people as a signpost. And the provocation is meant to get us into our closet. It's meant to get us into action, to begin to do certain things. Number three. Sometimes God may delay the dream we have, what is put on our inside, the birth, the delivery. Because what we are going to be carrying will be so great that it has to prepare us and ensure that the timing is right. So, for example, in the case of Elizabeth, the birth of John the Baptist was delayed because it had to be at the right time. Because the Bible makes us to understand that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. So if John the Baptist had come earlier, he would not have been able to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? So God delayed it such that, hey, I need somebody that will go forth and prepare the way. So it had to be at the right time in order to achieve the purpose God wanted to achieve with what he gave. And sometimes what God gives us, well, I mean everything, anything God gives us, or the ministry God gives us, the destiny, the dreams, it is to achieve a purpose. But if we have it earlier, it may not achieve the purpose God wants it or wanted it to achieve. Amen? So, for example, Elizabeth and Zacharias, they were righteous. They served God. They were in right standing with God. They were probably prayerful as well. But God delayed that delivery for the right time. And God brought him at the right time. If you look at Hannah's case, you find out that it was the right time as well. Because if Samuel had come earlier, there probably would have been a vacuum in terms of the priestship in Israel at that point in time. Because he had to come at the right time when Eli was beginning to mess up. But he needed to come at the right time when he could still be mentored by Eli. And as Eli was messing up, he was warming up. So he came at the right time. So that by the time Eli was off, God had a replacement. But if he had come earlier, he might not have been able, Eli would not have been able to mentor him probably. Because Eli probably would still be okay. In quote, we don't know, but I'm saying maybe. So there's a possibility that God, you see, God is not a wicked God. I always say that a lot of the things we desire, God wants it more than we do. The dreams that we have. So for someone that says that God has called them to run a business, a career, or to make money, or various things. God wants it more than you do. That's if you understand that it's for ministry purposes. Because if you make the money, he knows that his kingdom expands. Ministry, if God has given you a ministry, he wants it more than you do. Because once you can start the ministry, many will be delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So, in quotes, if you think of it logically, there's no reason for God to withhold it from us. But there are certain things that need to be in place before we can have it or before he releases it. Amen? Somebody say it's never too late. You know, the Bible talks about Hannah. Penina used to speak to her, provoke her. And this morning I've come to provoke you into your destiny. I've come to stir up something on your inside that will cause you to stop sitting down and rise up. You know, somebody said something. I don't remember who it is now. Someone from years ago. He said that if you cannot fly, run. If you cannot run, walk. If you cannot walk, crawl. But just don't sit. Get up and do something. And that's what I've come to do today. To tell you that if you know you cannot fly, begin to run. If you cannot run, you want to begin to walk. If you cannot walk, you want to begin to crawl, but begin to do something that will get you closer into where God has called you to. Inaction never gets anybody anywhere. When Hannah was inactive, when she used to sit down and just cry, she did not get the child. But the minute she prayed, what happened? She mixed her tears with crying. So as she was crying, she was praying. She got a word. Amen? I've come to tell you this morning, let's look at 1 Samuel that we read earlier. Let's look at one or two things there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. In verse 9. You know, initially verse 7, it says, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Notice what she was doing there. She just used to weep and not eat. And then verse 9, it says that, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed and wept in anguish. She did something. She arose. You see, to arise means to get up from your sitting position. You know, it amazes me because, you know, a lot of times we share about people bringing for their dreams, you know, birthing things and various things. But there's so much inaction in the life. It's like, I always say something, you know. The easiest thing, do you know that it doesn't take any effort to sleep? Usually. Most people sleep naturally. Inaction is effortless. But if you want to do something, you need to use effort. So most people, they just go along with their natural inclination, which is inaction. I've come to tell you this morning that in order to get the dream, to the ministry God has called you, to get into your destiny, to do the things God has called you to do, to reproduce the will of God in your life, you need to arise. And it's never too late to arise. You are never too old to arise. It always amazes me the age at various people did things. The person that started KFC, I think he was at the age of 67. What's the gentleman that ran for the presidency recently in America, McCain? 70-something. Sorry, what's his name? Yeah. Why were you laughing? Oh, he's old. He did something. You think he's old, but hey, he tried. At 70-something, the man was still wanted to rule a whole nation. And he could have won if he hadn't chosen that lady as he's running. Well, my personal opinion, I don't know. But anyway, let me not go into politics. You know, that's another story. Be careful who you choose as your friend. They can pull you down. Hallelujah. That they can kill all the favor and bring you into disfavor. You know, the people you associate with. Because that's just that association. Either he didn't do his background checks properly or whatever it is, but all those skeletons that just started coming out. The thing, whatever favor or advantage he had, became a disadvantage. Amen. Let me share with you one or two things she did when she arose, and then we'll be done for the day. The first thing she did when she arose is the fact that she prayed. The Bible says in verse 10, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. When she arose, what did she do? She prayed. You see, one of the key things that we need to do as individuals is to pray. And you know, I know it's a Christianese language. Everybody says pray. Everybody talks about prayer. Everybody behaves like they pray. Everybody pretends in church as if they pray. But do we pray? Do you know that when you don't pray, there are certain things that you cannot get? You know, it's only prayer that will give you strategies. It's usually in the place of prayer that you get wisdom. It's in the place of prayer that you get revelation. It's in the place of, do you know how I know if people are really praying or not? By the number of people that come for our prayer meetings. It is true. It is true. You can tell me that, yeah, you pray in your house. Very true. But do you know, people that really pray, usually they enjoy corporate prayer as well. Now, it doesn't mean you have to come every day, but we would have seen you a couple of times, once, twice at least. I'm sure there are some people, if they show up at the prayer meeting, the angels will come downstairs and say, what's happening? I think you missed the way you should be. The Bible says she prayed. She prayed. Now, prayer doesn't change God's mind. It's not that it changes God's mind, but it gives us an understanding and perspective of various things. Initially, she was crying. You know, God doesn't answer our tears. He won't answer your fasting. You know, sometimes people fast, but they don't pray. Do you know that when you're fasting and you're not praying, it's a waste of time? Because what fasting is meant to do is to get you closer and get you into another realm, a deeper realm, so that you can have revelation or understanding, or so that you can receive from God. So the Bible says she prayed. You know, the Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14 to 15, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And then it says, now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. You know, God has ears. Amen? I'm talking about it's never too late. You know, the Bible also says in the book of James chapter 5, verses 16 to 17, it says something. It says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man does avails much. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. What was Elijah doing? Elijah was prayerful. That's why he was able to get revelation of what's going to happen. If there's a delay in your life in any area of your life, if you can get into your prayer closet. Now, I'm not saying that will cause the delay to be removed, but will give you an understanding of what's happening or perspective. But that's just one of the things. There are some people that, we speak about the delayed destiny and things. And I realize that there are different groups of people I'm talking about to here this morning. There are some people that already have an idea of their calling. There are some people that are hungry for it, so they are seeking it and things. But there are some people that don't even have a clue, in the sense that they don't have the hunger or desire. Now, for people like that, what you want to do is you want to begin to pray that create the hunger in me. Listen to me, it's only in the place of prayer that you get revelation from God. It's in the place of prayer. It's in the place of prayer that you get impregnated. You know, when people conceive ideas, usually they spend time with God. Usually. And I'm talking about ideas that are in line with God's will. Remember, I'm talking about spiritual barrenness. And when I'm talking about spiritual barrenness, I mean the inability to produce the will of God for your life. So if it's the will of God, for you to get it, it is God that needs to impregnate you with it. There needs to be a conception. And you don't get that conception if you don't get, oh my goodness. For those that are married, you cannot get pregnant if you don't close to your wife or husband. There's been only one immaculate conception. All the other ones are assisted conceptions. They are assisted. Either the man assists you, or the doctor, or even the test tube one. It is assisted. There's only one. So in order for that, and in order to have the assisted conception, you need to get close to something. The same way with the spiritual things. In order to get pregnant spiritually, you need to get close to God. Am I making sense this morning? You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know about you, but I know that God has made some promises. God has given me some words concerning my life, concerning my family, concerning the ministry that I know I want to come to pass. And I know that for me to be able to bring it forth, it is only by being close to God that can bring it. If not, I'll be doing it out of my own head, which never guarantees success. You can do it by man's methods, but it's not a guarantee for success. But if you do it by God's method, success is guaranteed. I don't know the dream you have, the vision God may have given you, or that you may have received, but even if you haven't, I want you to know that there's destiny on your inside that is waiting to come out. I said there's destiny on your inside. And you need to set your face upwards and begin to get into that place to pull it down and pull it out and push it out rather. So that's the first thing. The second thing she did, and I believe I've shared this in the past, but I'll share all the same. How many more minutes do I have? Five. Okay, thanks. Second thing she did is that she pledged. So the first thing is she prayed. Number two, she pledged. You'll notice that it says there, in verse 11, it says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. She was a wise woman. Because she tried to find out, what does God need? If I can fulfill God's need, then God will probably give me. Because if I can say that, God, I will give you what you want, then the need I'm saying that God needs is tied to my own need as well. Let me try to explain. For people that are struggling with their finances or just below or above the poverty line, or you know, what you want to do, if you have a level of understanding, spiritual understanding, you won't begin to make a vow that, Lord, if you can give me a business idea or what to do that will generate income, Lord, I want to make you the partner. Now, I'm not saying you or whatever, but Lord, I'll give you 90% and live on 10%. Now, get this. If God knows that you are ready to give him 90%, you can imagine what he'll put in your hands for you to live on 10%. That's for people that are called. You know, some people are called to finance the gospel. For people that are called to finance the gospel, then that's what God has called you to do. Then if you begin to make a pledge like that, God will begin to give you, ideas that will generate. Is this making sense? Because what she did is, hey, God, you need a prophet. I need a son. Okay, I will give you that son to be your prophet, if you can give me the son. So, Lord, if you can give me the ministry, if you can give me, reveal to me the destiny, if you can give me the church, if you can give me the idea that will make me to reach out to others or to go to nations, whereby the ministry is to all nations, Lord, I will win lives for you. Lord, in my lifetime, I plan to win about 500 or a million souls for you. Tell me how God will not begin to create that for you. She made a pledge. But it's dangerous when you make a pledge and God begins and you don't fulfill it. because, you know, I mean, when God gives somebody £1 million, as an example, they calculate it, 900,000 to God. Why should I give 900,000 to the church or to? They calculate the amount and what they can do with it. And sometimes we forget the pledge that we made. Now, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying, you know, pledge 90%, because different levels. If what God wants to give is £30,000, £40,000, £50,000, and you pledge 90%. Sorry, let me move on. But it's good if you do, if you feel led to. Hallelujah. So what she did was she tied the birth of the child to the fulfillment of God's kingdom. And when you begin to understand certain things, when you begin to understand that, hey, the dream that God has given me, the ministry, the things I want to do, how can I tie it to the kingdom of God? If you know it's God that has given you the idea, how is this tied to God's kingdom? The ideas that I have, how would it increase the kingdom of God? How would it change lives? How would it reach out to others? And if you can begin to meditate more on that and tie it and make a pledge, you'll be amazed at how God will cause doors to open for you. Or will give you ideas or give you favor or wisdom or whatever is required to get to where he wants to take you to. Like I always say, God wants to give us more than, he wants us to have it more than we want it. And that's the truth. Because if we have an understanding of God and what he wants to achieve through us, we'll understand that, you know, God cannot come down and start asking people to give their lives. God cannot come down and pay for the rental of this room. God cannot come down and go and meet the drug addicts and cause them to change their lives. But he uses the people that are on earth. So he has already said each one that I want to use you for this, I want to use you for that, I want to use that person, and I will use you in this area. But because we don't have that understanding, what happens? We cannot enter into it. But the minute we get an understanding of what he wants to do for us, and that it's for his purpose, and once we get that understanding, there's no way that he will not release us into it. Amen. You know, some years ago, it's interesting, you know, I was talking about dreams, dreams, destiny, all that. Some years ago, before we moved to Milton Keynes, we decided we wanted to move house and we wanted to move in London and all that. And we started looking. And we just didn't see what was appropriate for us. One or two that we saw that we thought, okay, we'll manage, it didn't work out. Either, you know, they pulled out or gazumped or something. And we just did not, we almost went around the whole of London, various, you know, boroughs, everything. And for about four good years, we were looking. You know, for about 4 years, we were looking. We saw various people, our friends moving, some people that don't even earn more than we do, moving, you know, various things, moving. But we just didn't see what was appropriate. Now, get this. It wasn't until one day, you know, my pastor just called me, you guys have been wanting to move. Have you considered Milton Keynes? And then, you know, that it would be nice for you guys to start a church there. Of course, my initial impression was no. And then we went to pray. And I felt okay. And then we came down here to see. I think within the first, I don't remember, we found where we wanted. Well, we first found one, and then something happened. But within 2-3 months, we found exactly. Now, what am I talking about? We were looking for something, what we wanted, our dream. But it was not tied to what God wanted to use us for, to do through us. So there was a restraint. And until we got into that place of understanding, I use that understanding because I didn't understand, I did not think that I was meant to pastor. Or I did not necessarily want to.
But until I got into that place of understanding that, okay, God, yes, I'm ready. I'm going into what you have called me to do. What we were looking for 4 years, within a period of 3 months or thereabouts, we got it. And it's the same with most of us. We want it, but there's a restraint because, hey, we don't understand yet what that thing is meant for. Am I making sense? Last thing, let me end with this. So she pledged, and number three, she believed that prophets postulates, which means she believed her prophet. So after she prayed, after she pledged, what happened? The prophet spoke a word over her life. Eli spoke a word and she believed it. And I mean, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. But then it says that believe his prophets and you shall what? Prosper. You know, one of the things you need, I know quite a lot of people here, they see this as their church. But one of the things you need in your life is a prophet. Now, I don't mean the kind of prophets that, you know, that you go to, in the country where I come from, you know, you have prophets that, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, where God has planted you, there's a prophetic word for you in that place. And once the prophetic word comes, believe it and grab it. Because once you begin to believe it and grab it, what happens? You begin to move. You see, sometimes people don't do what God has called them to do because they don't have a prophet over their life, or they have not accepted the past. You know, the Bible says something. That scripture usually astonishes me. The Bible talks about Jesus. He said a man is without honor, a prophet is without honor, except in his hometown or in his own country. And then he goes on to say that he could not do miracles in there. Why? Because he was not accepted. But do you know that he spoke the same word that he spoke in his own country that he spoke in other places? But what happened? The word he spoke, they allowed it to fall to the ground. But in the other places when the words were spoken, they caught it and accepted it and grabbed it. This morning I have come to you. If you rise up. I've come to declare over your life this morning. That in the name of Jesus, I release you into the calling that God has called you to do in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that anything that may be holding you back, any restraint, we begin to lift you up in the name of Jesus. Declare over your life that if there be any skill that has covered your eyes from seeing those things that God has called you to do, if there be any skill that is covering your eyes from understanding, covering your ears from hearing, this day I say be removed in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that you shall arise in the name of Jesus. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that as you get into your closet, that a new level of revelation shall begin to enter into your life. A new level of understanding shall come upon you. A new level of hearing shall begin to enter into your life. A divine wisdom, strategies to enter into God's calling upon your life, into your ministry, into your destiny. I pray it over your life this morning in the name of Jesus. So it shall be in Jesus' name.